concerning the gifts of God. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 1. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the holy scriptures written and read and understood by men born of God. Thank you, our Father, because for this cause we understand. We walk in the light of that understanding that we have received, even Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Concerning the gifts of God. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 12, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. I will not have you ignorant. And you see that the reason why the translators added the word gifts is not on, is not unfounded, because by the time you read further, it begins to teach you the gifts of the Spirit technically, the nine things, and then he addresses also ministries, which we'll see in Ephesians 4 referred to as gifts. Then the operations. Now the gifts are ministries, ministries are gifts, and then gifts are gifts. The operations therefore, you know, stand to be seen also as what is given. 1 Corinthians 12 says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. But watch this in verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand. Now, why is he saying this? Because understanding is not just the acquisition of facts about something, not just knowing the facts about a matter, but understanding relates with the subject matter much more intimately, where you can appraise it very well. You can explain it, you can teach it. So not just the essence of this series, why we are hearing this, is not just to know it, but also for us to teach it. The Word of God is taught for you to receive it, okay, with understanding, and then for you to be able to teach the same thing. If you have been taught anything in your church that you cannot teach, two things. It's either what you are taught is not deep enough in God's Word, or as God's Word, or you have not understood it. Because when you understand it, you are able to teach others the same thing. You can teach, you know, others. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit unto faithful men who are able to teach others. That's the way the church is run. They're not just supposed to come in and listen and go. That was why last week I had to ask some of you, what are you listening to? Are you able to explain it, disseminate this information with precision and with a lot of understanding? So chapter 12 now talks about, you know, this subject matter. Now you discover from verse 4, it says, and there are diversities of gifts. Okay, what there is various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Okay, what administration there, we understand is gift ministries. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations. It's the same God which worketh all in all. Now the word operations is just a simple word for activities. Now, you will discover that the summary of 4 and 5 is in 6. It says, there are diversities of operations. The word operations there is activities. It says, the same God worketh all in all. That is, the operations happen in the ministries. The operations relate with the activities of the gifts in the ministries. Now look at this, and you can summarize it like this. The gifts are, look at this now, I want you to observe. The gifts are particular in all. That is, The gifts are diverse in all. The gifts are diverse in all. Okay? In all believers. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. The prophet without. 1 Corinthians 12:7, verse 11, all this worketh the one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the diversities of the gift is in individuals. Okay? Now I want you to be very intelligent now. So the gifts are diverse. Paul explains 9. Okay? Now he says, now the diversities of ministry. Now look up now. I'll take this again. I know I've done this again and again. Let me have 3 people. Let me explain this to you very, very well. I've done this before in the earlier series, but you know, for me to say it again, it is not grievous for you to believe. Amen. Are you with me? Now, this refers to the gifts. This will be the operations. Now hear this very well. These gifts are in one person. Right? All the 9 are in every man. Okay? Every believer. Are you listening now? And look up before you write. Just listen. This is in every man. Every man has this one. All the gifts. Why? Because they work with the one and self-same Spirit. Alright? Dividing to every man severally as he will. Now this is the ministries. Okay? There are diversities of ministries. That shows you already that these ministries are in the body of Christ. But just like you use the illustration of a physical body, everybody cannot be the same ministry. There are different ministries. Okay? These are the operations. Operations of the believer has all the gifts of the Spirit, but he is not, the believer has all the gifts of the Spirit, but he is diversified in ministry. So therefore, the operations refer to the diversity of the believer who has the gifts of the Spirit. Is that clear now? Is that very clear? So he says the operations that the same God worketh all in all. Worketh all the gifts, okay, in every ministry. So there is no ministry that lacks gifts, any of the gifts. But there is diversity of the way the gifts work based on the diversity of ministry. Let me see if you understood that. Is that very clear? So don't ever mix them up at all. So I said this. I said the gifts are diverse in all. And take this as a note. The ministries are diverse in the body according to the gifts. Okay? The operations are diverse because ministries are diverse. It's very easy to understand that. The reason why the operations will be different, that is, the operations will only be different not based on the gifts. The operations are different based on the ministries. Does that make sense to you? Huh? Right. So every time we talk about a minister, never look at gifts. What do you look at? Operations. Are you following this now? The activity of, that is, look here now. The activity of the gifts of the Spirit will differ based on the minister. The gifts will not differ in quality or quantity. They only differ in expression in each ministry gift. Are you there? Okay. Why would they differ in expression? What is that expression? What is the expression? Operations. Great. So, the operations, therefore, can be summarized as the gifts working in the ministries. The gifts working in the ministries will then be the operations. So last week we began to look at the operation of the apostle. I mean, you can see the apostle as a ministry gift. Ephesians chapter 4. 7 says we all have received the measure of the gift of Christ according to grace. It says he ascended up on high, let us be captive and give gifts unto men. And he gave some, verse 11, apostles. So an apostle is a ministry gift. Okay? It's a ministry gift. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the apostle is a ministry gift. However, based on the understanding we have received in 1 Corinthians 12, the apostle will need to be seen look at this now. The difference in the apostle will be readily seen where? In the operation of the apostle. In the activities of the apostle. Now, never forget that those activities are referring to the activities of the gifts of the Spirit. There can be no the gifts of the Spirit in the apostle. In fact, the thing is this, look up now. There cannot be an apostle without that operation. It's that operation that is referred to as an apostle. It's not a title. Are you there? It's not a position in church. Alright? It's not something you call yourself, you know, and you say you are. It doesn't come by continuous speaking and speaking and speaking, then you become. It doesn't come by let there be light. There is an operation that distinguishes an apostle. Okay. Now we looked at last week the office of an apostle, the function of an apostle. That word office, what we call office, is a Greek word that has to do with function. Romans 12. Romans 12. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. That word there is the same function. The same function. This word function and the word operations are the same, have the same roots. That is what is being done. Okay? We have what is being done would differ. Why do we call something the hand and we don't call another one the hand? It's because the hand is that which does what the hand does. The leg does what the leg does. Okay? It's not based on lack of life in one, you know, it's just based on function, the way they function. So, just that same way, the apostle differs in operation. So what is the operation of the apostle? Now, let's trace the history of the apostle. We did that a bit last week. We first had the 12 that Jesus put in Luke 9, and they were his apostles. He sent them forth to preach only to the Jews and not go to the house of the Gentiles. Okay, then in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, this history of the apostles, you discover why we are saying this in a moment. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given unto the apostles commandments, whom he had chosen. Now, Luke is referring to that Mark 16, Matthew 28, commission, okay? That which he said, okay, to the apostles. He had given them commandments to the apostles. So these apostles initially were 12. Judas lost his apostleship by death. And you discover this, that apostleship was lost by death. It wasn't lost by, you know, Jesus, because of what he did, he lost his apostleship. It was lost by the reason of death. He couldn't continue by the reason of death. Now, after he had died, the 12 now came together, the 11, and then he said amongst them, men and brethren, verse 16, this scripture must indeed have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was the guide to them that took Jesus. Okay? So, and now this man, he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Okay? And this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Right? That word reward of iniquity implies wages, something that he did. and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Now, if you observe very well, all Judas did was commit sin, and Jesus died for sins, okay? And people have wondered, did Judas go to heaven? That's a silly question. And you ask them, why are you doubting it? Because he betrayed Jesus, okay? The betrayal of Jesus was paid for on the cross, okay? Even Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. So Judas' sin of betrayal was forgiven by the death of Jesus. So the question is, did Judas believe in Jesus? If he did, he is today one of those who are called the sons of God. You understand? So people who don't understand what salvation is, since salvation is now something you do that is so grievous for God to overlook, and so therefore it just takes you on, and then you are finished. If that is the point, everybody here is hopeless. We are all going to have our day in hell one day. That is the way it is done. Of everybody, just a matter of when you go there. Amen. You know, somebody was telling me that he saw a prominent minister that came to the Lord. He said he saw him in hell. I said, interesting. I said, do you have eclipse? He said, no. I said, I would like to have eclipse. And it's something to show the world that the Bible is a lie now. There's no point believing this God that is not true. And the man said, I'm serious, sir. He said, he got to heaven and the man was arguing with God. There was an archangel The archangel was actually on the judgment seat of Jesus. There was already a judgment seat of Jesus there. So he was arguing with God and arguing with God. So when you don't know the Bible, any kind of issue will come to you. Okay, he was arguing with God, and then the archangel was arguing back and all that before he just took him without his name, just took him to where he was going. So they said, you know, you follow them. You observe their movement, where they were going to. They could just have thrown him into the toilet in heaven. He said, they took him to hell. I said, did you follow them there? How did you get there? He said, I was there, sir. But, let's just leave people. Like, don't argue with them because you're already seeing the vision. If you didn't see a vision now, it's a different ballgame. So, Judas's case was brought by the vision of death. Verse 19, but not to all dwellers of Jerusalem, in as much as the food is called in the proper tongue, Akeldama, I say the field of blood. So quoting from David, he said, let his habitation be taken desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. That is, his bishopric let another person take. The word bishopric there is the office of an overseer, let another take. The word episcopon. Therefore, these men that are coming with us, the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, look at the qualifications, okay? Beginning, so number one, there is the depth of experience. That is, he has an experience with the Lord. It didn't just, based on the particular apostolic function of these people, you have to have been with the Lord. He said, from the time. You know, Jesus took 12 out of a multitude of people. So, that fellow must have been part of that crowd that never stopped following us. He says, went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John on the day, same day that he was taken up from us. Must he be ordained to be a witness also with us for the resurrection? That means he must also be somebody who saw Jesus physically alive. You know, this, by the way, I was somewhere yesterday and somebody was talking about how somebody died prematurely. Said, even our Lord Jesus, he said, he died at 3.5 years. And I told someone near me, I said, I don't think that pastor is born again. He said, why do I think so? I said, he doesn't believe Jesus was raised from the dead. And I said, I don't understand. I said, how can you see Jesus died for 3.5 years? And he forgot to hear that he was raised from the dead. And I still alive. The guy said, you understand? That's no, let me explain well. In case you don't understand. Jesus, the way Lazarus was raised, and he was alive, and he began to live among people. Jesus was raised from the dead. He didn't die at 3 years. He was crucified. And he was raised the third day. Do you understand? I said, when he was raised the third day, he lived for 40 days, he ate food, that means he's alive. And by the time he was going to heaven, he was not killed, he went. I said, do you believe the rapture is body there? I said, yes. Are we going to die when the rapture says no? That means that Jesus physically went to heaven. He said, yes. So Jesus is not dead. I said, I understand you. He said, sir, I don't think he's born again. Are you with me now? Where were we now? You see what we are talking about? Okay, so you have to have had experience. So So, you know, they chose Matthias. Something was wrong with Justus. I don't know what it was. But they didn't choose Justus. They chose Matthias. So the 12 people, you know, became the 12 apostles. Okay? So, there were 12. Now, you move on, and you discover that besides the 12, there's still some church folks today who hold on to the fact that the apostles' ministry is done the way we say why, because Jesus only chose 12. You know, just like saying that salvation is done away with because Jesus was only believed in the four gospels, you can't believe afterwards. It's just as dumb as saying that. By the time you read Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, you will discover that, chapter 14, you will see that somebody else was called an apostle, Bas-Paul. It was by the name Paul and Barnabas. But the mothers of the city were divided and part with the Jews and part with the apostles. Okay, so Paul was called an apostle here, besides the 12, himself and Barnabas. But verse 14, Paul and Barnabas also were called the apostles. By the time you get to chapter 15, you discover that Paul and Barnabas had issues that they took to Jerusalem before the apostles, verse 2, and the elders, okay, about this question, okay. And the man that came up to speak was by the name James. James was the man who came up to speak and sent people, you know, and all that. And Paul identified James, Galatians chapter 1, verse 19. Paul identified this same James as an apostle. Galatians 2, 19. And I saw other of the apostles, save James. Except James, the Lord's brother. So, that means James was also called an apostle. Now this James, the Lord's brother, was not the James that was killed, okay? Because the James that was killed was part of the 12. I think we've said that before. And this James, the Lord's brother, was not part of the original 12. So this James became an apostle. I mean, look at that. I can show you that. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12. There was a James who was killed. Verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He was an apostle. James, the brother of John. Acts 12:2. So this James is a different James from this one. Are you following this now? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There were even other apostles, you know, afterwards. 1 Corinthians 15. He was seen, verse 5, talking about Jesus, of Cephas, Peter, and of the 12, including Matthias. He was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Verse 7, he was seen of James. Are you seeing that? Then of all the apostles. So, there were other people that were referred to as apostles besides the 12. Okay, so, 1 Corinthians 12:28. Is it a title in the church? Is apostle a position that we give people? Someone say, I've been promoted, I'm now an apostle. That's serious. You know, remember a young man, years ago, we used to do fellowship together. So he told me that he has the calling of an apostle. I said, that's good. I said, to do what? He said, well, it's an apostolic ministry. It's to sit in a particular church and serve under a man of God. I said, I think you heard a rumor. You are not called. So go and find out exactly what you are. You know, we have apostles of business. According to the man at Orebu, we have an apostle to business, apostle to sports. I said, maybe that's what you are doing now. So look at 28. He says, and God set some in the church, right? He said he set some in the church that what is to appoint, to cause to happen, some in the church, first apostles, he said, secondly, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles and gifts of healings, health, governments, and diversity of tongues. So at this point, we're looking at the operation of an apostle. Now, I said last week that the operation of the apostle is a primary work. In noting an apostle, his work is a primary work. He said, firstly. That word in the Greek is the Greek word proton. Proton means first. Something that is first. That is, there's nothing before this. Nothing happens before this. The apostle's function is primary. And we have agreed that the function, that is the operation, are the gifts, right, in the ministries, right? Okay? So that means the primariness of the office of the apostle is the primary demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit. To do three things. The issue about the apostle is the primary nature of his function. The first nature of his function. The word first there can be another word like the pioneer. Somebody that starts something. I know some folks already know in their heads, I started a fellowship on campus, they sell me to. I started a dance drama group. I'm apostolic. We'll see now. That primary nature definitely will refer to three things. We said number one, the work. Number two, the message. Number three, the power displayed. So there is a primary, that is, the kind of message the apostle will teach, or the kind of the message the apostle will preach, will be primary. There will have been nothing before it. Then, secondly, the kind of work he will do, there will have been nothing before it. And thirdly, the kind of display of power that he will demonstrate, there will have been nothing before it. Now, notice what I'm saying. What we are saying here is the primary nature of his work. That is the essence why it is called apostolos. Sent forth. Sent forth. That is, from where he is sent, he will not be first. But where he is sent to, he will be first. The message will be first. Then the power displayed will be the first displayed. Are you following this at all? Good. I want to be very, very intelligent here now, because one of the things I'm teaching you this is not just, I don't expect that after this video you should begin to wonder what you are, whether you're an apostle or you are a apostle or whatever. It's to appreciate it, okay, one. Two, of course, if it happens that you're an apostle, we're thanking God for your life. But basically is to receive and know what an apostle is. Okay? So, let's look at the message. First, Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. I've heard this, interestingly, and people have said the apostle is an apostle of a message. Somebody actually said to me that, what do I think? That there are some people that have a special message to the body of Christ and all that. That maybe they are apostles of a message. I said it is wrong. I happen to come from a background where that was taught, you know, and for years I couldn't really understand it. Because I felt special in the message. Okay? But by the time you read the Bible, you discover that, you know, all those stuff are just not true. 1 Timothy 2 and 7, Paul said, wherefore I am ordained a preacher, okay, and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now, I've had those who have taught me these things, and they said that Paul had a specialty. It's not true. With due respect to those who say that, if you read what he said, wherefore, whereunto, because of this, I am ordained a preacher. Because of what? Go back. Verse 4. God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Are you following this now? Are you sure? Okay. The man Christ Jesus. Now let's take verse 6 together. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Because of these, I'm ordained. So he is a preacher of what? The redemptive work of Jesus. Are you following this now? So based on the redemptive work of Jesus, the apostle, and is a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth of what? The redemptive work of Jesus. For the Gentiles to believe it, forget it, in truth, I am a preacher of the same message. that will save all men. Let me see if you understand that very well. So it's not talking about specialization or Paul. Now look at the primary nature of the gifts of the Spirit in the apostle. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, notice that, when I came to you, so there was a day he came to them, came not with the excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. The testimony of God. He had told you earlier, that was talking about what? Verse 2. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you except what Jesus Christ. And so what was his message? Jesus Christ, the work of redemption was his message. That is the message of Paul. Alright? Okay? I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing word of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men with power, but obviously telling you that he brought the gospel to them. Okay? Are you following this now? So he brought the gospel to them. If you read further, he emphasized it that for this church, he laid the foundation. We're going to see that later. He laid the foundation. He said, I am the wise master builder. Chapter 3, verse 10. He laid the foundation. Now, the foundation is to start something. Am I right? That's to start something. I started this work. Now, Apollos came back there to teach. Apollos, interestingly, is also an apostle. Apollos came, but in Corinth, Apollos is recognized as an apostle, but he is not the apostle to that church. Are you following me now? Peter is recognized as an apostle, but he's not the apostle to that church. The apostle's work is specific. You see that now. There must be a specific people. You can't be an apostle in a vacuum. There must be a specific people. Now, look at chapter 1. You know, interestingly, people feel that people, when you read like that and you have verses, you lose out some meaning. Now take up the verses. In chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, are you there? Called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and certainly is our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. So who is the apostle to the church of God at Corinth? Can you see that now? Can you see it? He is the apostle to the church of God at Corinth. If you observe this, this refers to churches. You understand? But he is the apostle, we're going to see the history in a moment, to the church of God at Corinth. Look at Ephesians. The apostle, I mean, that's how he introduced himself, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the saints. You understand? To the saints. So he is actually the apostle, he's the one who is the apostle to these churches. If you observe, when he wrote to Rome, he used a different word. He said, we have received apostleship for the blessing of faith among all nations. Romans 1:5. Because when you talk about Rome, a lot of apostles had a level of ministry there. So, for the Roman church, for instance, was a particular church, I mean, Paul had leverage there, I mean, ministry-wise, but he didn't have the kind of the kind of sphere of influence of that gift in that place like other ministries. Now, that's a good point. If you look at, I said something now, I said, watch, the apostle must have a specific people of whom that apostolic operation is towards. Now, look at Luke chapter 9. Remember, he took the 12 and he called them, and these were his apostles. Luke 9. So he sent them, you know, to heal the sick, verse 2. Verse 6, they departed, went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So they went through the town, they preached the gospel, and they healed everywhere. Look at Matthew 10. The names of the 12 apostles, okay, look at verse 1. He gave them power to cast, he called unto them his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. The names of the 12, he listed them. And watch this. Verse 5. God told and said, go not unto the way of the Gentiles, or into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But rather, go to the lordship of the house of Israel. That is, they were sent, they were specific in function. They are not to be moved by emotions. They were specific in function. That calling, that operation has a particular direction. Go not this place. Go this place. That is, of course, you understand that by proper doctrine, that you don't come now and say, well, if I go to a place, I somewhere I go to hell, I say, well, I'm not sent to you, I'm sent to you. From Mark 16, is now to all nations, right? But you see the apostolic function now. In Acts 11. Verse 19. After the Peter's incident with the Gentiles, and then they all agreed that, well, God did something mighty. In verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Watch that. So this happened in Acts 8 when they all scattered abroad and went to preach. Philip was one of them, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. Can you see that? They only preached to the Jews alone. So they were preaching and teaching those Jews. They were at Antioch. Don't forget that the same Antioch where Peter came. So they came to Antioch, they preached, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So at this point, verse 21, no Gentile was getting saved. You read down, please follow, observe again. So the things came to Jerusalem that people were getting saved in Antioch. Now who were getting saved in Antioch? Aha. So they sent Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. When he came, he had seen the grace of God, and glad he sent them all, those of us that should cling unto the Lord. Was a good man full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much word of the Lord. As he came also, ministry was being done. And he went to Tarsus to look for Paul. When he saw Paul, he brought him to Antioch, and a whole year they assembled with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So you can see that Paul did not start the church in Antioch. Come on, are you following this now? He didn't start the church in Antioch. So prophets came from Jerusalem. So that means the concern of those in Antioch were who? Were who now? Jews up till this point. Okay? Now go to Galatians 2. Now, those who started the work, for instance. Okay, let's say Galatians 2. Now, but when Peter was come to Antioch, are you following this? Verse 11. Now, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. That before that certain came from James, he did eat with Gentiles. When they were come, he withdrew as himself, bearing them which are of the nation. So at this material point in time, they were Christians in Antioch. Antioch,
Don't think that Antioch, please look up now. Don't think that Antioch was like a street. It's a major, Antioch is like New York. Okay, even bigger than that. It's a very big place. So, the Jews were meeting the synagogue as often, I mean, usual, but actually something had happened before this that had extended the gospel to Gentiles. So Paul said this about himself earlier. He says, the same God that wrought the apostleship of Peter to the circumcision, the same was mighty in me that gave towards the Gentiles. Now, was he in the same location? So, Paul reached Gentiles. So, Paul had reached Jews. Can you see it? And he reached Gentiles. To the Jews, he taught them in Antioch. But to the Gentiles, he was who to them? Now, Apollos was what to the Corinthian church? He was a teacher. But who was Paul to them? An apostle. So, the apostleship work is primary. So, you can see that the issue was not the location only, but the people and the work done. That operation is seen in the work that is done. Now, Pastor, does that mean that everybody that goes first to a place, I mean, does that not look like the evangelist? No. There's similarities, but there's going to be a difference now. Before we get there, notice in Acts 8 and Acts 11. In Acts 8, Philip went down to Samaria, okay, and he preached Christ. How did he go to Samaria? That is the key thing. How did he go to Samaria to preach Christ? Verse 1, chapter 8. And Saul was concerned to his death, of Stephen now. Are you there? And Saul was concerned to his death, and at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So, they were what? Scattered. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, verse 4, preaching the word. So, Philip now went to Samaria and preached Christ. Now, at this point, Philip was not known as the evangelist. Now, look at Acts 13. Put your eyes in Acts 8. There were the church in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene and Manahem, who had been brought up with Herod the Taker and Saul. Now, in this verse, they were all Jews, correct? Huh? Okay. So verse 2, the minister of the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them. If you observe that, they were doing something already. He said, for the work I have called them, and when they had prayed, they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands upon them, and they sent them away, and they be sent by the Holy Ghost. Now, observe the difference. The first set of people we saw in Acts 8 went because of persecution. These ones were sent by the Holy Ghost. This was mission work. They were specific. Okay? Two words are used here. Look at it. He says, and he says, okay, verse 3. So when you see that, obviously when he said the Holy Ghost said, it's not as if something spoke over their head. There were prophets and teachers, men given to the gifts of the Spirit. So by the gift of prophecy, they got to know that there was a work that was to be done. Now, look at verse 3. You see that they sent them away. In verse 4, and they've been sent forth by the Holy Ghost. There's a difference. In verse 3, he uses the word apelousian. Apelousian means to discharge somebody of an obligation. To discharge you of an obligation. It's actually a word that's close to the word divorce, where you discharge somebody of an obligation of a contract. That's the word apelousian, to discharge somebody of an obligation in a contract. Now, I use another word in verse 4, and they've been sent forth by the Holy Ghost. That is to send someone to do something. In verse 3, it was to not do something. In verse 4, is to do something. Obviously, from that point, Paul and Barnabas were not to function in Antioch as teachers. The Holy Ghost sent them to function from Antioch as what? Apostles. That's the difference.
Notice that operation very well. Ministry gifts released them. The Holy Ghost sent them. So it didn't just, it wasn't apostles, you know, that, okay, let's do evangelism here and all that. There was a specific stirring towards the direction. Something was, just like Jesus called the apostles, just like they acted, you know, there's something specific about the work. Now, let's see this again. So therefore, the apostle is a preacher and teacher that every minister is. Okay? The apostle is a preacher and teacher. Every minister is a preacher and teacher. The work of the ministry is a preacher and teacher. Make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Go to preach the gospel, Mark 16, 15. So everybody is a preacher and a teacher. However, everybody is a preacher and a teacher by the gifts of the Spirit. In the apostle's case, is a preacher and teacher by the gifts of the Spirit to do primary assignments. Pioneering assignments. Now, let's go back to the message. So, if the apostle will take Jesus to a place, he will be the first. To a people or a place, he will be the first. When it comes to the notion of power and the miraculous, he will be the first. And also furthermore, he will establish them. He will establish them. There will be an establishment of these folks. Notice the difference in Acts 8. Philip went and preached. There were miracles. No. He now beckoned on the apostles who came. The apostles actually were the ones who finally established that church. He didn't establish the work. The evangelist does not establish the work. We say the work, we are referring to the church, an established church. The apostle does that. So his function is not just church planting. I'm going to show that in a moment. It's not church planting. It is a work that is primary in nature. There will not be anything done before them. Now, let me show you a classic example. Don't think that what we are saying is that if you are the first Christian that lands in a place, you are an apostle. Acts 18. An example like that. You know, we're reading about Corinth now, right? Let's see the Corinth example. Acts 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, okay? And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, and because that Claudius had commanded. Okay. All Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Alright. So, he met them as tent makers. And because it was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for by their occasion they were tent makers. And he, reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath, appointed the Jews and the Greeks. Notice that he reasoned in the synagogues. There are things that will have happened. Is that like we're not doing ministry gently, teaching people, Jews and all that? But Paul is specific. The Jews and the Greeks. When Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul pressed in the spirit, despite the Jews, that Jesus was the Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his garment and said, "Your God be upon you." Verse 7, their body ends and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one of those worshiping God, whose house joined part of the synagogue, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord's holy house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized.
So Paul continued there for 1 year, 6 months, verse 11, teaching the word of God among them. So his work was primary. He actually established something there. He wasn't just doing evangelism and getting people born again and all that. He established something there. So the work is not just planting church. It is the planting of Christ. That is, there is now the magnitude of the apostle's office is that that function makes Christ planted in the place. There's an announcement of Christ in that place. And before that apostle, look at Romans 15. Romans 15. Laying foundation is not just, you know, when you say laying foundation, the Bible writers understood what it means. Cornerstone. That is what you build everything on. That is something that will hold everything. You understand? That's not just getting saved. Look at it. Romans 15. Are you there? Are you Romans 15? Look at verse 20. Let me start from 19. Okay, let me start from 20. 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Jesus obedient by word and deed. Okay? Verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Let's take 20 together. Once you go, you show up, have I strived to preach the gospel. Not where. Can you see the apostle now? Where Christ has not been made. So they don't build on someone's foundation. They pioneer it. They pioneer it. The evangelist does not lay foundation. He does not. Which is the gospel, like Philip did. And like those folks in Antioch did. But the establishment of the church, as you are going to see in Antioch, was now done by Paul. Paul now went there and established that work. He brought order and he established that work. Not just the fact that he wasn't the first one that took gospel there. He established it in such a way that there were now Jews and Greeks in the church of God there. That was the apostolic function that played there. So the way the gifts of the Spirit work in that apostle, that diversity is to announce Jesus, to establish Jesus in a pioneering way. Everything will be made. That's the apostolic function. That's like, you say that the apostle seems to have all the ministry gifts. You think like you almost appear as if he's also a pastor, he's a teacher, an evangelist. Not really. What it does is to lay foundation. That is, when anybody now comes to pastor or to teach, he has to do what? He has to follow that pattern. Do you understand that? He said, let it now look at 1 Corinthians 3. Let's see it. He has to follow that pattern. There will be a pattern, a foundation that will be set. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another built thereon. Let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So it's very clear. He's not saying there's no foundation somewhere you have to do. He's talking about the primariness of Jesus in a place. So you now come in, like Apollos to teach, you have to do what? Build on what the apostle has done. If you are coming as a prophet, same thing. Look at when he sent Timothy to pastor Ephesus. Timothy got to Ephesus, and Timothy was to follow the pattern. Things you have heard of among you, when Jesus says, commit unto faithful men. You know, he was to follow that pattern. Teach them that they, charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Of course, referring to what he had laid down there. That's the apostolic function. One of the things we are going to see later, but it's not in this series, is the order that he brings. He sets order. He puts order in place. There's an order of things that are there. So the gifts of the Spirit work in an apostle. That is, we now see that when it comes to workers of miracles, that I talked about the Corinthian church, said the signs of an apostle were wrought amongst you in mighty deeds. Signs, one of the mighty deeds. That is, it will be primary. You won't have seen it before. That's why the Bible says that special miracles were wrought. That is, why were they called special? They had not been seen until then. They had not been seen until then. When Jesus sent those folks, the 12, to the regions and the villages, it's because Jesus did not go there. So they went there to announce him. And as they announced him, there was healing power and the miraculous. It had not been seen. That's the apostolic function. So the way the word of knowledge will work with an apostle is to establish foundation, to set a pattern. The way the word of wisdom will work is to set a pattern. You see that? Don't forget, look up now. Don't forget, the gifts are for what? Ministry. So the gifts will be ministered in an apostle. Okay, no, let me say it like this. Look up. I think I will say it this way. The gifts will be ministered to when the gifts of the Spirit are ministered to establish a work, to bring a primary planting of Jesus Christ, we have seen the function of an apostle. So if you have a location like this, and you have churches here who reach a particular set of people, you know your God, and then the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Spirit, now work in a man towards those people. That is an apostolic function. Now, of course, I know you are not thinking like somebody sends to DI, to the glass house, AC, another word talking about here, you know. That's an apostolic function. So that's what says of miracles are apostolic. That is something that is new. Did you see it? It's apostolic. So, note this. The apostle, again, let me say this. The apostle, you can know an apostle by the diversity of gifts of the Spirit. There's a diversity about it. Also, it is God that works that diversity. Also, you cannot become an apostle by desiring. Thirdly, or fourthly, okay, let me say this. I put down the operations or the functions of an apostle, okay, are beyond desire. However, you can desire the gifts of the Spirit. It's not a desire. Look at Antioch. Paul never left Antioch. Interestingly, that means that in Antioch, he was there as a teacher. Okay? Teaching and all that. There was really nobody, you understand, who had the oversight of the work at Antioch until Paul's gift was recognized. Now, I know a church like that in the world. I won't mention it in the country. So these young folks decided a church. There was not the elderly guy, you know, and the elderly guy was born again for everybody. So, I mean, they now made somebody youth pastor, another person, and they were not functioning. Just got to a point. I mean, the guy had pastored the church I was told for almost 10 years. And he just discovered that, look, it's actually this guy who was a youth coordinator that actually had the gift of a pastor. He just discovered. It was a little bit of an issue, but somebody came in and sorted it out. I said, look, it's obvious. You see, there's nothing about seeing something. You just saw that this is the guy that can, you know, in a prominent church. And he just agreed. You know what amazed me was that, although then the church was about, I was told, 150. The church has grown to well over 10,000. I mean, it's not a phenomenon all over the world. And that founding pastor is an associate pastor. That's a lot of humility, really. Yeah, he just said, this is the gift that will handle this work. So he came back and submitted to this person. It's been years now. Yes. So it's about function. You see it. Of course, not that somebody will now come into your church and say, I'm supposed to be the pastor, and say, it's true, it's true. Pastor told us that it was discovered there. I don't know any other place where I can see that happen. And there will not be newspaper reports and headlines. There was no scandal. Right. Imagine what they did was that, you know, they had a particular language church. It's got this guy had more children was in language church. He just focused him on that particular language part of the church. And he's just there, he comes, hearing God's word. Right before his eyes, the conch grew from 200 to 10,000. Is it not obvious that that's the gift of God? There's no point. Now, when they were running from Gentiles, and Paul came, you can't doubt the fact that Paul was sent to the Gentiles. There was nothing that they did among the Jews did not do. The same primary thing he did. So, I mean, you just have to baffle long with baffle that this is the gift of God. You can't do it out. I know in a country like ours, where you know what I'm saying, you even recognize all gifts. There's no point. All gifts. When you send you to Bible school and you fail 7 times, you just say you want to become our pastor and you know you have failed the eschatology. You just lose it. You know. So Paul never left Antioch. He was there. And it was actually like his base. He stayed there. And, of course, in proper ministry administration, you discover that Paul stayed with, you know, he made the base of his ministry among more matured ministers. I believe that what he did at Antioch was only possible there because he had been there for a long time. And of course, for the humility of Peter, no matter what he did, somebody is not humble, he scattered the whole thing. And before you know it, they are throwing guns. Someone say, in church, men are carnal now. They act like mere men. Mere men can shoot. Shot when the state of God picks a gun and shoots. And you all say, well, Lord, if you be, that's what you're going to say. So Paul's message was the same message. It wasn't like there was a different message. I've said that to many, many times. But there was a way it was established among the Gentiles. There was a way. Let me now say this. Look up now. He said my preaching and my speech was not with the enticing word of man's wisdom. Notice what he said, my speech. That means that when he was going to establish these guys, his mode of speaking was equipped with the gifts of the Spirit. Saying the doctrine of spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So that apostolic function is power. It's not, the other apostle has to do with power. You see, all these people that, with due respect, oh Lord, ask for your forgiveness before I say this. I know you are forgiven in Christ Jesus. But it's all these people that go and do mission work, and go and be learning language, and doing shoemaker to reach people. Those are not apostles. Do you understand? They say, you know, I train as a missionary. What is that? And why why I jumped out of the school was because they said the first learn French. For how many years I'll learn French, I'll learn so I can communicate and all that. They now said that they now learn a trade. That is that you can take like 2 years or 3 years. They're not an apostle. Apostle doesn't take 2 or 3 years. His presence there is apostolic. In a few days, you are not, he's there. Because it comes in power. So, I'll look at those missionaries like Acts 8. They were dispersed by persecution. At a time. I mean, just had to be, maybe it's whatever it is. You went to one, let's send you forth to so and so hills. So you go there, you dress in one way, you know, you do this and you do that. I had a friend like that, you know. They were just doing that. You go somewhere, you stay there for 2 years, for 3 years. Sinners would have gone to hell, many sinners. Paul never did that. When Paul gets to a place, he goes to the synagogue first, where the word of God is known. He goes there, he announces his presence by ascension. You know? He comes in there, and he says, you can see that every time Paul comes in, there will be scatter. Someone will say, we don't agree. That is, there's something primary. We don't agree, we agree, we don't agree. Then you take those that agree, you tie with them, establish the work, then leave those that are not agreed. That's an apostle. In Philip's case, only those that agreed, and they now call the apostle, those that have agreed. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying here? So that's the apostolic function. It's not a tea party. It's not, that's why when people begin to call you names and you begin to respond to it, what you're simply doing is that you are stiffening the power of God in your life. God is a function. But when the apostolic function dawns on a man, the last thing you call himself an apostle. That hasn't dawned on you well. I don't even forget the apostles in the Bible were known for suffering and persecution. And in death often. Amen. don't embrace the title. Look at Paul's message. Have you ever wondered that Paul's message, the way Paul preached, was very similar to how Stephen preached in Acts 7? Interestingly, Paul was there. Amen. Paul's first sermon that we know was in Acts 13. He discovered that Philip was talking about Jesus. They both preached the same thing. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the message. Philip used Moses and Joseph to explain that fact. Abraham, then he went to Joseph. How Joseph was rejected, he replied to Jesus. He said how Moses himself replied to Jesus. What have you observed? In Paul's instance in Acts 13, you can check that yourself, Paul's emphasis was David. Are you there? Paul used David as the scripture. So there was death. What he said. More precision came. They used David. David was the emphasis. David said this and this. The promise that was given to our fathers, and he mentioned David's prophecy. It was more depth than what he was saying. Next step. I'll close now. Praise God. Alright.
The point of the apostle, what we should look at is the function. What is the gift of the Spirit doing in this man's life? You can't stay here now and be giving us word of knowledge and all that. You think you're an apostle because of that. The apostles are just jokers. You know, they're jokers. The apostle is sent. He's sent. He's sent to establish Christ where he's not known. To establish the work. The power of God in a way that has not been known before then. That's an apostle. And there's nothing about it that we'll see next week. We'll still have to teach about this. What's going to happen today is that, firstly, there's a secondary prophet. So the apostle, besides the fact that the apostle is the one that starts the race for all of us. Again, when it comes to the development of ministry gifts, he is the first one that is known. Then the second is oftentimes the prophet. That's what secondary. That secondary is in order. That's why in Ephesians 4:11 it was repeated like that. In Acts of the Apostles, we first of all knew the apostles. Then the second ministry gift you observed, of course, by the time you read Acts 11, were the prophets. Also, then the next ministry gift that we saw were teachers. Apostle, prophets, and teachers. Well, it's not so far-fetched. You know what? Look up, let me show you something. Not so far-fetched. We're going to see this as we look at the way the kings of Israel work. You discover that the pastor comes in after the teacher. That's why the pastor's gift is always called pastor and teacher. He comes in after. The pastor is not the person that starts the church. He is not necessary. The evangelist is now an operation of a developed local church. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? It now comes from, you know, is that do the work of an evangelist. Preach what? Instance is another thing. You see that also. It comes from, so you see that Philip wasn't known until the church had been birthed to a level. Then the evangelist came after. Then the pastor. Hallelujah. So the missionaries today are the apostles. They are the ones that know. Amen. It's not good enough to just sit down somewhere and read about the Windows 1040 and say, I'm going. Do you know that? Listen carefully. I'm going. Evangelism. Start in Lagos. Don't go to China. Don't go. They were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Not by emotions. You just go to China, you marry more wives. Because you were not sent, you went. Then don't disengage yourself. Praise God. You observe, those apostles, Paul and Barnabas, were disengaged from certain duties. They were doing something. So, what about where our church now sent us, that we saw in Acts 13, was sent by the Holy Ghost? So be sure your church has the Holy Ghost. We don't have Holy Ghost in your church, and they are sending you. Say, for Pastor, Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel into every nation. Did you observe? He said, go. He didn't say, jump. That means there's a gradual progression. Start in your neighborhood. You are still going. He said, all the world. He didn't say, out of your world. Praise God. It's very simple. Are you an apostle? Let some people have a secret desire to one day be called an apostle. That's the first disqualification. You are not. And let me give you people you will never be. I'm not cursing you. Who am I? It's the truth. It goes beyond the party. See how they chose Matthias. Has he experienced the Lord? Did he know him from the Gospel of John? Did he at any time go and, you know, he went to do business? Did he leave it to go and get married and after 8 children? He said, I think I have an apostolic calling. It's too serious. Because the work of the apostle is primary in nature. Hallelujah. What if all these people that start church all over the place that look like a call center? Does that mean that all those people are apostles? You know the answer. Don't ask me the cheapest question. Do they have the power of that office? Do they have the primariness of that office? Besides, have they not even built another good foundation? Stand to your feet, give God praise.